This episode of The Chaser Report is brought to you by the crushed dreams of getting fit while in lockdown. You really thought it would happen, didn't you? You idiot.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report for Friday the 17th of September 2021. Gabby Bolt, Charles Firth and Dom Knight, or as I like to call us, the forever partnership of hosting this podcast.
Does that mean my internship's over and I've been hired?
No, it means you're forever an intern. It's a forever internship. Gabby?
Yeah, yay.
I presume you're referring to the US, UK, Australia partnership.
No, AUKUS.
AUKUS.
AUKUS, or as I like to pronounce it, AUKS.
AUKS, yeah, it's totally AUKS, isn't it? But I sort of thought the point about strategic partnerships is to not just rely on the people who you have already relied on, but create new partnerships that then
be taken for granted forever by the United States. Is that what you're saying?
That's not possible.
We're forever being taken for granted. But we are getting nuclear submarines. That is the big sweetener for us, is that we now are going to be a nuclear nation at last. Rather than just digging the stuff up, we're actually going to use it to drive our submarines.
So let's just go through the history of building submarines in this country. When we were growing up, Gabby.
Yes, there was this, so 1810. Yes.
Yeah, there was this submarine called the Collins-class submarine.
It was steam-powered.
I swear this is true. One of the big problems with the Collins-class submarine is that it couldn't turn left.
Yes.
Right.
So it was a very right-wing submarine.
Much like a big problem with your generation too, actually.
Every time it wanted to turn left, it had to turn right.
It was a complete disaster. But then we had the French ones, Charles. 90 billion.
No, Dom.
Ah, Le Submarine.
Remember we had the Japanese.
Were there Japanese ones?
Yeah, we gave a contract to the Japanese. Remember?
That's historically quite ironic, but anyway.
And then I think the problem with that is that they couldn't float or something. What was the problem with them?
Well, hold on. No, a submarine's not supposed to float.
Well, that's what the Japanese told us, but we didn't believe them.
It's supposed to submerge. Yeah. That's the sub in submarine. It's not called a float marine.
Well, I think the Collins class, we never actually put them underwater because we were too worried they'd leak. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the French ones, though, $90 billion deal.
Yeah.
And we've pulled out, we've cancelled it, which is going to really piss off France. And we've somehow wasted $2.5 billion just on the way, just by cancelling.
But in fairness, Dom, don't you think it's funny when French people get angry? Like, mad! Like, I think that's worth $2.5 billion.
My theory is we just have to drink $88 billion worth of champagne to keep the friendship sweet. I'm willing to do my bit.
Yes.
So as a result, we now have a much tighter and closer partnership with the United States, and with the UK. So tight that the president, well, maybe it's not that tight.
Thank you, Boris, and I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
I mean, people have been pointing to this as dementia. I see it as success that Joe Biden did not want to remember Scott Morrison's name. I think he's been trying to forget that for years.
As have we.
On today's show, we've got a very special edition looking back at the history of one Charles Henry Bergman Firth, who very foolishly in the year 1996 allowed a camera crew to follow him around for a portrait of a quintessential uni student. He's not going to look good, is he, Gabby?
No. I don't know. I think I'll leave that up to the listener.
Yeah, I don't think you should listen to today's episode. Just turn off now.
We don't need
your listens.
What's that thing you always say? Modesty is death? Come on now.
Stop it. Go away. Everyone go away. Stop listening.
Before we do that in a moment, we're going to head to Rebecca Dainamuno in the Chaser newsroom.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Scott Morrison's PR team has had a recent breakthrough after signing a deal with the US and UK to produce Australia's first fleet of nuclear submarines. Following the backlash the Prime Minister received when the public found out he fled to Hawaii, these high-tech submarines will make sure the Prime Minister can remain completely undetectable during a crisis. Channel 10 has caused controversy with their latest marketing stunt to promote their hit show, The Masked Singer. It was revealed that the broadcaster completely staged Christian Porter's trial in an attempt to drum up enthusiasm for next season, where they unmasked the blind trust. Billionaires Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson have come under fierce criticism for wasting vital resources on joyrides in space, exacerbating a climate catastrophe. Elon Musk has decided to challenge what was seen as a selfish and reckless endeavor by sending four regular people into space instead. The CEO plans to launch another 1,918,500,000 of these flights in his quest to make space travel accessible to non-billionaires. That's the latest Chaser news you can't trust. I'm Rebecca De Unamuno.
This episode of the Chaser Report is brought to you by the crushed dream of reading a single novel while in lockdown. Get real. You're not going to read the novel. These days, you can hardly bring yourself to read Facebook, you idiot.
Now, we've asked Craig to sit in on this journey back to 1996 because he was in the room when a lot of these scenes were actually filmed. Over to you, Gabby.
I have a secret to share with everybody here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I found a really interesting documentary series.
Oh, good.
Recently. Yeah, I know. I just thought I'd really try and educate myself on a time that I wasn't really a part of. I was a baby at the time. And it's a really interesting expose into university life in the 90s. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This wouldn't be called the uni documentary by any chance, would it?
It sure is, Craig. Yes, the series, good. You didn't hear this from me, everybody, but the series is called Uni. It's by Simon Target. And the whole thing is on YouTube, all four episodes.
Now, I think you'll find it's Simon Target.
He'd be very upset if you said Target. It's all on YouTube. It is. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Particularly because one of the main studies in the docuseries is Charles.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this segment.
Oh, but we are, Charles.
It's a documentary about the youthful hubris of Charles Firth, and I'm here for it.
Can I suggest that if you had any shame that documentary series would not be there in the first place? So I think it's a little late to bring out shame now.
Far too late.
But it was so unfairly edited, guys. Can we just have that as a caveat beforehand? That this was not like a true depiction of reality. This was an edited version where they created these caricatures which bore no relationship to who I was as a person.
Well, if you didn't like how they edited it, Charles, you're not going to like how I've edited this. So not only did it star Charles, it also starred a lot of the Chaser alumni and alumni-to-be as well, which I'll go through in a sec. But the first thing I learnt is that Charles, as we know him today, has not changed one bit since 1996.
Gonna go and try and scam an extension from my lecturer. Except, like, you're supposed to get extensions before you hand in the essay. But one of mine's been 3 weeks late, and then the other one, I haven't done it.
Look, here's the thing. I can forgive missing a uni assignment or two. We've all been there. However, I'm not sure I approve of this blatant use of white straight male privilege.
I'm going to use the line that I've been a bit incompetent and I didn't realise when it was due. And then I'll just go from there and also say I was really busy. And then, because he knows my dad.
No. Oh, what a giveaway.
Yeah, the incompetence line would still work. It's good, yeah.
And also, I will say it's kind of incredible that your voice hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
You sound exactly the same.
I'll redub the uni documentary.
And it's worth bearing in mind there was actually a camera pointed at him and he still had no shame and shared everything. So that hasn't changed either.
But you know what, Charles? It's nice to know that you've always been super ambitious.
The Arts Review this year has the potential to be absolutely brilliant. There's a lot of work involved and everything, but we have enough talented people to make it one of the best reviews that's been seen, you know, in Australia. I mean, it could be a renaissance of culture, like, you know, and a real sort of opportunity, like Melbourne University with a degeneration or a Cambridge or Oxford with... Like, there is that potential there.
Yeah. For reference to those of you who might not know, Charles is actually talking about the Sydney University Arts Review, a function I have researched to find out that most patrons attend drunk, high and ready to heckle. So, you know, height of class.
Gabby, you've done the research. You've looked back and I can't quite remember. Did it turn out to be one of the greatest productions of all time? I just couldn't quite remember.
Yeah, no, it was. No, it is an Oscar-worthy stage production. By that, I mean it would never qualify. If you wanted to know, guys, it was called Psy-Cow.
Psy-Cow, Phantom of the Abattoir.
Good to know you still know it, Charles.
I remember watching that review in the audience, and that was not my impression. But the surprising thing is that a lot of people involved in that production did go on to professional careers in comedy, and I was not predicting that after watching it.
No, no, that's true. That was one of my great regrets because I was involved in that, and it was going to be this political satire, like Bob Roberts style was the idea, right? And then I went away for the weekend and I came back and it's like, oh, it's called Psy-Cow now and it's about a cow. And I was like, what happened? He's like, oh, you didn't see it, but on Saturday night, Andrew Hansen did a really funny impersonation of a cow. It's like, how the fuck, what the fuck happened?
And Craig, I'll completely concur with that because I will say a few things during this made me question Charles's professionalism.
Charles has made himself director of the review. The cast have all gone to a beach house for a weekend of brainstorming.
So I've actually spoken to a few attendees of this workshop break that you speak of. And by all accounts, they have said that this beach trip was literally just a reason to have a complete bender. But it is nice to know that Andrew Hansen actually was doing some work, as well as weirdly prophesizing what the Chase's whole brand ended up becoming.
Through the tiresome work of 12 scriptwriters, 31 professional actors, 48 executive producers, 430 lighting riggers, and over 12,000 pre-Socratic philosophers, we bring you a performance of such unparalleled mediocrity that you simply will not know where to laugh.
But I suppose, you know, without the internet, you have to create your own fun, which Charles did actually do by jokingly campaigning for his mate Sholto to win the student SRC vote that year. And who better to campaign for him than Logie disgrace himself, 20-ish-year-old Tom Gleason.
Could I have your attention, please? Picture yourself just over a week from today. Sholto McPherson loses the election.
I want to win, President. It's not fair.
Look at this display. But now, picture yourself just over a week from today. Sholto McPherson wins.
Strong campaign.
How did that guy ever win a gold Logie for anybody?
I watched this whole thing, Charles, and I got to say, I have no clue what one single policy of Sholto's campaign was going to be.
I don't think anyone did.
No, he was running on a personality ticket. It wasn't about policies.
Okay.
Very modern.
Sholto always had the best parties. That's all that there was to it. That was the campaign.
So you would say that you weren't overly invested, Charles. You were like, oh, this will be fun kind of thing. is that what you're saying?
Going. I think I know where this is going too.
This is going.
Let's go there.
We can find out. We can find out.
Oh, man, it's nothing.
It's just such a disappointment.
Charles, you ran in first as a joke. You thought it'd be funny if he won.
It would be funny if he won, but he's not going to win because, of course, he's not going to win. Nobody ever thought he was going to win.
For those of you who don't know, that was Charles genuinely sobbing at the university bar when he lost.
Yeah.
I still remember Andrew. One of the words that Andrew said that night to comfort me was a soggy cup of chips could have run the SRC better than Sholto.
There was just like such a childhood naivety about the whole thing. Because what I got from watching just that one episode about this whole political part was like everyone around you was like, oh, this will be funny. And you seemed to be like, no, we're going to win and it's looking good and we're handing out flyers and nobody else knows what they're talking about because we're going to win this. And so I genuinely was a little bit heartbroken for you watching that footage.
He is a figure of great pathos in that he's quite pathetic. Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Now with extra whispers.
What was your takeaway? Because, Gabby, I remember when this went to air and, you know, when I go back to my hometown and people who'd watched it, they'd say, oh, that Charles guy is such a fuckwit. And I'd spend a lot of time kind of going, no, he's actually really good. I know he came across that way, but he's actually a really lovely guy. And what was your takeaway from that particular film?
I kind of viewed it the same way I would view, like, a younger sibling. I walked away kind of thinking, oh, this guy just doesn't know how life works yet.
I do want to be fair. I want to be fair to Charles.
I think
though.
I'd prefer to be known as a fuckwit.
Craig said he wanted for there to be like a Bob Roberts style satire of politics and all that. And that was Charles's life. It wasn't it wasn't a review. It was just Charles Firth as an undergrad. Great work, Charles. One of your best characters yet.
In Matters of the Heart, though, this is like some of the most interesting content to me, because it's honestly crazy to think that all of you grew up to have partners and kids of your own, given this evidence.
See, this is the terrible thing. Like, I'm not someone who's confident enough to just go up and kiss. Hopefully what will happen is she will do all the work.
Good.
Oh, man, just awful. Why did I ever let myself
It's the best. I had so much fun. But, you know, when things didn't quite go the way, obviously, you had hoped, Charles, in the way of your love life, the bestie little drunken gossip sesh between you and Andrew Hansen was one of my favourite things to watch in the entire series.
What you should do is go out with one of those people who like you.
No, I don't want to go out with someone who likes me.
I know you don't. Finally, you go, the first person you go out with doesn't like you.
She's
you
perfect. She's perfect for me.
Yeah, see?
Maybe I'll go out with someone who really likes me. Maybe I'll go out with Rebecca. Wouldn't that be amazing?
You're so good and you're so right.
Except I just don't feel like the same attachment to Rebecca as I did.
No, because you're
better. So who's Rebecca?
We know.
Yeah, so do I. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I ran into her and I asked her if she had anything particularly juicy from that whole series. And she said, you know, when they say, oh, maybe I should go out with Rebecca. And I was like, no way.
Oh, my God.
So it's good to know that, you know, you didn't quite feel the attachment to Rebecca. You know, she doesn't read the headlines on this podcast and hasn't worked with you on several television shows or anything.
Oh,
so, there you
man.
Go.
God, I hope she doesn't listen to this.
It's very enjoyable watching Charles be forced to re-listen to that. It's great.
Gabby, can we do this for like the next few weeks? There's a lot more in the series.
There's
got
to
be more.
There is a lot, and I didn't really know what to cover because there is so much, but I will take the heat off Charles a little bit.
Oh, good.
The way it ended, though, I got to say, it left me quite sad, and it's not because I can see every day on this podcast now the real time of reality of aging, but rather the reality of just how much things have changed in my lifetime, because I was born in 1996 when this was filmed, by the way.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. Jesus. I am a direct result of how much time has changed. But, yeah, I figured out things are a lot different now.
Students and teachers are marshalling forces against a new government that wants to cut funding to universities and make students pay more for their courses.
Yeah, that would never happen now.
No, you couldn't do it. If universities protested every single time cuts were made, there'd be a protest every week. But also, protests don't feel like this anymore. There were kids being thrown by police, kids storming cop cars, and there were kids trying to throw punches at John Howard on this footage. Like, I was watching a mutiny take place. It was amazing, and you couldn't do it now. There
you know the really
no way.
Sad thing, Gabby, is that those students were protesting against fees of $1,200 a semester.
Oh, I know. And it's funny you mention that, because the thing that made me saddest was the so-called happy ending of the series.
The pay dispute dragged on long after students left campus for the holidays. Maybe it was Christmas spirit, but in the end, Sydney Uni found the money to offer its academic staff a 12% pay increase. This they accepted and finally released the students' exam results.
Imagine being able to tell you guys back then that the average student debt in 1996 was $12,759 compared to 2020 with $23,280. That's an almost doubling of the debt, and yet the student average yearly income is now only $1,000 more per annum than it was in 1996.
My God, I'd hate to be young.
Well, the
interesting thing about that is that I hadn't realised that the link there is that we were protesting, but that if we won, they were going to release our exam marks. Oh, we shouldn't have been protesting at all. That was owning ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, if only the students had known Charles's dad, it might have all been fine.
I mean, I digress. It was actually a lot of fun. It was an amazing watch, and also rather comforting to know that life will end up completely fine and the university experience is definitely still as fun and freeing as it was in the 90s, and that there's absolutely nothing wrong and nothing is getting worse. Not the climate, not the government, not the economy. Everything is totally righteous, man, as they'd say in 1996.
The really good news is that, you know, after sacking 40,000 university workers, there presumably won't be any unis left, which means there won't be any documentaries like this ever made again. Perfect.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode is brought to you by the crushed dream of maintaining a minimum acceptable level of hygiene while in lockdown. Nothing matters anymore. You don't need clean teeth, you idiot.
Before we go, as we do every Friday, let's take a look at the podcast reviews. These are the things that you've written on Apple Podcasts, and there's heaps of them, and some of them are really long-winded and complimentary, so they're not interesting. Let's start with the one from Peter JH, who says, legally funnier than Friendly Geordies, 5 stars. Love the show, although didn't need to know about Alex's penis. Embarrassed face.
Fair. Fair.
That was what my face looked like as well after that discussion.
I have this one from Unaterra where it says, the podcast of Comrade Snowball, 5 stars, the best place to hear the worst news. So, I mean, that's pretty much right on the money.
That's a slogan we should totally steal. And the rest of it's a long analogy about Animal Farm that I don't really understand.
This one's from the Big Johnny D.
That name sounds familiar.
Wait, hold on.
Which is John Domenico's...
one of our writers.
Wait, we're allowed to write our own reviews?
No.
Isn't that kind of rigging the game a bit?
Well, it says, big fan of the podcast. Well, that's lucky. I love the podcast. I listen every day while I poop. And sometimes even when I'm not pooping. Well, there you go. What an endorsement that is.
It's very long and very complimentary of the interns. But then
sincerely,
it says,
an unbiased fan.
I do have one gripe, though. As much as the old guys are funny, they are also old and old. I mean, that's true.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, ageist employee. And my favourite, though, is from My Big Ears, 5 stars. This is a podcast, and the review is, The Chaser is indeed one of the numerous podcasts available. And
On that note, can't deny that.
Let's call it, shall we? Please write more reviews next week on Apple Podcasts. Charles is off on a holiday from Tuesday, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going away so that I don't have to work with you guys.
Hold on, going away? We're in a pandemic, Charles. This is a lie. You just want a break from us.
I'm going to my bedroom and I'm going to lie there all week.
Our gear's from Rode Microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you on Monday.
See you then.